lyrics are.
It's game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh!
End of line.
Hello, all. Welcome back to the Gamers Haven podcast. And, we've all been fairly busy as usual. We missed recording last week because Nathan was ill and, well, really, it just sort of didn't cohese, so we're recording now. So here we are. It is, of course, Friday, May 21st. Yeah, yeah. We've just, actually, Nathan and I just finished interviewing
Secret Skeleton
Miniatures guys today, which is a lot of fun.
And so, it's going to be really interesting when they get the minis out.
Which should be up and released before this episode comes out. So if you're listening to this episode and haven't listened to that one, you should check it out. It's pretty cool. But we are joining joining ourselves today. Today we are talking about convention gaming. Obviously we've got sort of running convention games, playing in convention games, that sort of thing. And then we're going to go into our usual three-parter and, of course, random encounters. And I think we're going to have something special lined up for next episode, so we'll see what we can do about that. But what have we all been up to lately? I know, Jeremy, you've been working a lot, you say?
Work.
Work and more work and
even more work.
Lovely. Nathan?
Looking for work,
okay.
I've been working a lot helping... A friend of mine sell a bunch of Amiga stuff that he's generously given me commission on, so that's been helping with the bills. But I'd still like to have a full time job.
Excellent.
Yeah, I still haven't fixed the plumbing yet.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you know, we haven't gotten any donations for you yet, so you know, we're still working on that, man.
Yeah, they're gonna have to work on that. Might have to package whatever comes out.
Iron Man 2 came out, which was awesome. I loved it.
Haven't seen it yet. I want to see Robin Hood, though.
I've seen that as well. It was pretty good.
You mean Gladiator and England?
No, Gladiator's better. Robin Hood's not bad. It's good Ridley Scott movie, but there is one huge glaring thing in it that I wanted to excise violently from the movie. But
okay, I'll talk. You'll tell me about that after the...
Yeah. Well, I recorded a review for it for Red Phone Zone, so it's one of the things I've been doing the last several weeks is obviously a massive website redesign, moved over to WordPress, and did a massive web redesign and moved over to WordPress on the Red Phone Zone site, so it actually is functional, so...
So what is the WordPress? I saw that, but I wasn't really sure what it is.
WordPress is a content management. It's a website blogging software. It's free. You can use to build a website.
Okay.
And that's, you go to our go to gamershavenpodcast.com right now that you're looking at a WordPress website.
Very well
it's
done.
It's going to make my life easier. So it's going to less stuff I have to update. I have to sift through it. And I'm moving over all of the posts, basically, and I have about I have the posts moved over for like all of our actual play, and there has to be individual posts for each of those episodes. Problem is I have to go in and assign the episode enclosures, the MP3 enclosures, to each post again, which is about 400 entries. So that's going to be a while. It's going to happen slowly but surely, but it's functional right now. You can still get all of the stuff since I'm still going through Feedburner. So, meh. You know, it works right now. It's a little nice. It is going to make my life super. Is going to make my life easier. So,
that's good because I just wasn't sure what it was. So it's now
just,
I know.
Just software. But I'm glad you guys like the site. Everyone seems to like it. I sort of made the red a bit more in tune with what our forums look like too. So, plus been doing a number of interviews for the show. Of course, had an interview with Steve Kenson that went up a little while back.
Awesome.
Talking about Mutants and Masterminds 3rd edition coming out this October. So, and also that they, you know, they've of course got the DC Comics license to do 4 DC Comics Mutants and Masterminds books.
That's cool. Batman and...
Yep. DC Heroes Handbook comes out in August at Gen Con. And then in October, Mutants and Masterminds 3rd edition comes out. They're going to be fully compatible. They're you know, cleaning up the Mutants Mastermind system a bit more and...
Going away from just the D20.
Obviously, they can't talk much about it, you know.
Well, yeah, of course.
Steve Kenson is lead designer on it, and which is good. Makes me happy. You're going to be able to convert characters over, he says, but they are sort of taking it one step further away from the OGL D20, the D20, you know, umbrella that it was under, so... I don't know what that means precisely, but I'm excited because second edition Mutants and Masterminds was awesome. So, and I'm a sucker for that stuff, so I'll be definitely getting all that. But, yeah, 4 DC Comics books. They got the DC Comics license and announced that. I think that's awesome. That's going to be very cool. Very, very cool. Gosh, really, that's all I've been up to, is laboring over various website and computer and CantCon stuff as usual. So,
I've been working on a Game Master Excel sheet.
Ooh, is that excellent?
I don't know how useful it'd be for anybody else because it doesn't.
Last week I've been playing various different video games.
Oh, yes, and I think you're going to talk about one of those.
Yeah, I've got a bone to pick about
one. In our three-parter, so yes.
One that I played was Lost Planet 2. And, I think Capcom really dropped the ball on that one. They went, okay, well, everyone loved the multiplayer part of Lost Planet 1, so let's make it required that to play Lost Planet 2, even if you're playing by yourself, you have to play with 3 bots, because it's actually technically designed to run with 4 people
playing.
Yeah, and so if you play by yourself with just the bots sit in the corner and shoot a wall like, look, a cockroach! And meanwhile, you know, the Akrid are like chewing your guy's face off because you're all by yourself.
So you can't have the bots.
So it gives you retarded bots.
Jack. Yeah, it's a typical AI bot. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do.
Grand.
So unfortunately, unless you have 3 other friends who you know... that you know for a fact are buying it, it's worthless.
Grand. Well, today on the show we are talking about convention gaming, as I said earlier, playing in convention games, running convention games, and we sort of have a lot of different levels of experience on that, so but we'll get into that right after this.
This podcast is brought to you by FRP Games, an online retailer specializing in all kinds of gaming products. Please visit www.forplenetwork.com in order to gain access to thousands of unique items available only at FRP Games.
This is the Forple Network.
This is Ethan with the Gamers Haven podcast, and I'm here to tell you about CantCon. For those of us who can't con, there's CantCon. CantCon will be held at the Johnson County Community College Regnier Center in Overland Park, Kansas, in the Capitol Federal Conference Room on July 9th through the 11th between 8 a.m. and 10 p.m. There will be RPG events, board game events, card game events, miniatures, games, as well as open gaming tables for impromptu sessions. Pre-registration is open currently, and if you pre-register, you'll receive an additional chance to win swag at CantCon. We have over $2,500 worth of prizes to give away over the course of the convention, and we hope to give it all away. In addition, if you pre-register, you can get a 3-day pass for only $25. If you're only interested in coming one day at a time, you can for only $10 a day. There will be registration available at the door, but you'll have less of a chance to win free prizes that way. Join us at Johnson County Community College for CantCon on July 9th through the 11th, from beginning at 8 a.m. daily. Visit www.cantcon.com for more information.
And today on our discussion, we're actually going to talk a bit about convention gaming, sort of running convention games, playing in convention games sort of thing. And as I said in the intro, we all have sort of different levels of experience. I've run stuff at conventions like Gen Con and obviously CantCon, stuff like that. I've also played in those, in games there too. So, I mean, I sort of run the gamut. Nathan has played in some. Run stuff at CantCon only.
I've run two games at CantCon. I had the opportunity to run something at Gen Con, and I just couldn't justify doing it because the minimum requirement was that you run at least, you have to run at least one game a day. So every day of the convention, you're supposed to run something. You know, if you run as an independent person, and it wasn't worth the whole whopping $5 off my membership.
That's if you want free admittance.
At the time, when it was offered to me, it was not for free admittance. I got $5 off my admittance fee. So yeah, I was like, to hell with that. I'm going to go and just play.
And then that was
back when I was 17 or 18.
Jeremy, I think you've played some at a con.
Yeah, I played a few.
At Gen Con.
I played.
And obviously you run some stuff at CantCon as
Yeah, CantCon, obviously. Yeah, Gen Con, I played some sort of World War II RPG.
Godlike.
Which at first I thought was a cool idea, but it's then a cool I realized game. I don't know anything about World War II tactics in
that
the sense
still
of.
Still out. It's now called Wild Talents, I believe.
Well, I mean, I know like about World War II history, but I don't know about like little, you know, platoon.
Yeah.
So I got totally just killed.
No. And so, you know, with convention gaming, you really have to approach it in a much different way if you're running it. You really have to have everything done ahead of time because you need to assume that everyone is coming there. Even if you say otherwise that, you know, you need experienced players, et cetera, expect at least 50% of the people that show up to never have played a game before.
Or actually to have played that game before.
Never have played that game, yeah. Usually at a convention, you're going to have between 6 and 8 people playing your game on average, depending on what you're running, obviously. 8 is a good number because that's usually what most of them have, most have set, basically. But you can do really any number. I think the best way to do a convention game is to, if you're going to run one, first of all, pre-generated characters, unless you want to make character generation a part of the game, that shortens it immensely, because most RPG game slots at a convention are about 4 hours.
Yeah, that would be a nightmare, creating characters there. Oh, God.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of that. So, yeah. Really, like, because I've run several feng shui games at Gen Con numerous times, and it's always just have the characters ready ahead of time. Have them printed out with as much information as possible for the players so they can sit down, do a quick read of the character and go, boom. Be able to explain what each character is in, you know, 2 or 3 sentences really quickly. Really, sort of step by step, the way I prepare for a convention game is, and I haven't run a convention game other than CantCon for quite some time. But the way to approach it is you get your general concept and think of the teaser for it, you know, like a good, you know, 3-4 sentence teaser, basically. It's going to go in the event book, and then you go from there. When you're running a con game, a convention game, you have to really think in terms of time management. Unfortunately, you have to really think of putting people on rails a lot, because really you have to do that because you only have a limited amount of time to run people through the adventure. What you can do to help out with that is run the adventure ahead of time with your home group. I've done that several times. I think I ran several of you through several feng shui games that way. I remember you guys ran through the one where it came from Lake Michigan, where the big monster came out of Lake Michigan and You guys nuked Chicago.
That one I don't remember.
Yes. Oh, I remember you were in it specifically. So,
was I drunk?
You might have been. I don't know. But have the characters made up ahead of time. Most players at a convention game are going to ask whether or not they can keep the character sheets, and I usually say yes. So, I mean, don't grow attached to it. So, really, what I can tell you as far as running at a convention game, at least as something as big as Gen Con, is expect to run the gamut of players. You're going to have some... inevitably, you're going to have rules lawyers show up. Inevitably, you're going to have people who have never played a game before in their life show up, no matter what skill level you're going to put on there. Really, I guess what I'm trying to say is
preparation.
Bring a stick. Now, preparation is the key to a convention game. You want to have everything basically. You want to have everything available to you to play the game ahead of time, to play and run the game ahead of time, including dice, including pencils, including characters, because people might show up and not have any of the above. And so it's like, oh, well, what dice do I need for this, et cetera, et cetera. I really like having a little stand or some such, like with a little miniature poster or something like that. It worked really well for feng shui, saying, you know, what the game was. So if you put it on the table, people can see that that's what's going to be at that table. And it's catchy and whatnot. So if you have open slots, it'll catch people's eyes to say, hey, you know, is there still room in this for anybody? And you get a lot of people that way of just sort of walking around and they spot a game that looks interesting and you can rope people in playing. When we move over to a smaller convention like CantCon, there's some difference to it, but there's going to be, at least last time, there's a lot less wandering about it. Really, you had just people who signed up ahead of time.
Right.
So... you had a good idea of who was gonna be in it and how many and that sort of thing.
There wasn't really any place for them to wander to the backyard.
That would have been interesting.
kind of just mull about.
So, I mean, those being the first quote-unquote convention games you guys ran, what did you find?
That if they weren't people that I mostly knew, I probably would have killed some of them. But beyond that, preparation... the encounters, be ready to throw an encounter out the window and mm-hmm. basically just let the players do what they want to do, because you'll get through.
Yeah, be very modular with the game.
Yeah, be very much prepared for players to do things that you don't expect them to do. Like,
oh yeah, be prepared to throw out half of the adventure.
I don't know if you remember, but I did Shadowrun last year, uh-huh. and just on a whim, I put hand grenades on one of the characters.
Uh huh.
Didn't think anything about it. It was a street Sammy. Of course a street Sammy's going to have some hand grenades, right?
Right.
I completely forgot about him. And they get to the big showdown, and there's like 15 guards have taken up defensible positions, and one of the players looks at their character sheet and says, I throw a hand grenade. I go, what? She goes, well, I've got hand grenades. They're right here on the character sheet. I'm like, no, I wouldn't have put hand grenades on the red sheet. I did put hand grenades on the character sheet. Okay, well, throw it. Managed to make like a picture-perfect roll. The damage rating on that is at the blast point is like a 20 fatal.
Yeah.
Rating. So it's like 20 dice of damage. It's like,
And
then it goes out like 6 meters, and then it drops to like 15. That's still death. And then it drops out another 6 meters, and it drops to like an 8, which might survive. But the thing is they were all clumped up behind defensible positions, and their hand grenade goes, tink, 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 and they all look at it, and then they all died.
Shit. Boom!
They all died. It was like, there goes the...
With the Mutants and Masterminds game I ran at CantCon, they only made it to the second encounter, and there was a third encounter beyond that, and the game went an entirely different direction and entirely changed the ending, entirely changed who they were fighting, when they were fighting, and all that. So entirely had to change the plot. So really, you got to be able to go on the fly at a convention game and go a different direction.
My party just wanted to slaughter one piddly group of stormtroopers at a freaking bar. It's like, go away.
I know, I was playing in that.
I know, and it's like, this is like a 15-minute encounter with maybe an extra 10 minutes talking to the crazy dude.
Yep.
Instead, they're like, well, I'm going to, like, massacre these stormtroopers. Oh, more stormtroopers. It's like... God.
Yep, you got to be able to, in a convention game, to be flexible and make sure that you can toss out certain encounters or toss out entire segments of the game. Don't weave together an intricate story like out of, you know, Lost or whatever and expect them to go for it, you know, because it's going to be a four-hour game and you're going to have to excise stuff. It always happens. Always happens. That or you run out of time and only run a 20-minute game.
I think we're being followed. How? What? Okay, I'm going to stay behind while you guys go up ahead.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is running the game is you're not going to have a lot of, well, I don't think your character would do that.
Yeah,
because
it's like,
usually you're not going to know the person until you're running a four-hour game. So there's not going to be any time to argue over.
No, rules. It's like, okay, and, roll perception check.
You know, and as if when you set out, when you actually start running the game at the convention and say, okay, well, we are playing the game, but there are a few house rules that are involved, this, this, and this. That's it. That's the game. And when you're on the other side as a player in a convention game, don't argue over the rules.
Yeah, don't.
Do not.
Just move on.
Just let it go. You're there to have fun. You have a limited time. And if you argue with the GM over rules, it's just going to make everyone else have a bad time.
It's going to piss off everybody.
It's going to piss off the GM. It's going to piss off everyone else. Entirely. And so, I mean, you guys, we've all played at... played games at Gen Con. We've all played games at, you know, Cant Con.
I had more fun at the Cant Con ones.
Cant Con was a bit more,
honestly,
you know,
honestly, cozy, I did have more fun at Cant Con than I did than I ever have at Gen Con, but that's because the fact of the matter is I knew everybody that I was gaming with in the games that I played in, and I knew everybody I was running the games with that I ran, so I didn't have to worry about, you know, the typical BS that you run into at a con, whereas then was like, you're just like, shut up. I just want to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
Quit bringing the rules into
dice and die.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you need to be able to ignore people as well. I mean, there'll be people on their cell phone or whatever.
Yeah, God, that irritates me.
I know, but you know what? Especially at Gen Con, is they're paying to be there,
right?
And if they want to sit there and talk on their cell phone rather than play, that's their money. So.
Well, like for Cant Con, for my pirate game, I used that card program to create all the spells for the pirate shaman and stuff to make it easier. And
you want to make it as easy as possible for people coming into a convention game.
It's like, here are the characters.
Because really, you're looking to entertain them for 4 hours or three hours and 45 minutes or
and I
whatever.
Think a couple of them went long anyway.
Yeah. And that's fine.
Yeah,
that's built
my,
in. You can't come.
My Call of Cthulhu game went long by about 30 minutes. I had to.
Seventh Seas game went really long. And it was so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame. I'm not even going to be able to get into that game this year because it's actually going to happen around the same time that I'm running my second Call of Cthulhu game.
I don't remember if I'm in one.
But. That's okay.
Doesn't
matter. The demand for Call of Cthulhu is apparently so high, it kind of just doesn't make sense not to run another Call of Cthulhu game. Because, really, it's like everybody's like, we really like it if, you know, there was another Call of Cthulhu game because we didn't get into one. Well, okay. I'll run another Call of Cthulhu game, but I'm going to do it
As a module,
because I don't have time to create two separate stories. I'm looking up the information on the Mekong River right now as we speak. And it's kind of interesting. It runs through Myanmar. It runs through Thailand. It runs through China.
Yeah,
and it's a big river. It's one of the 10 largest, longest rivers in the world. So that's pretty impressive.
What time period is it again?
1920s.
Okay.
You guys are all students.
So you know, not a huge discussion on this one, but
How about things like how people should act as a player? Yeah. I mean, that's something to discuss. It's
sort of touched a little bit on that.
A little bit.
You know?
I mean...
And I've had to deal with rules lawyers in a feng shui game at Gen Con before. That's amusing.
Yeah, you just up their difficulty score by 20, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It's
frustrating.
Have some courtesy. I mean, that's... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, be courteous.
Courtesy.
You know, you're generally going to be gaming with strangers, and you want to do your best to set a good example, and please... You know, really, just try to show common courtesy to these to people, you know?
And if you are a gamer who's gamed quite a bit, I recommend bring your own crap. Bring a pencil, please. Bring some dice. If it's if the game has specific dice, well, fine.
You know, be flexible as a right. GM, though. I mean, and have dice for them. Because I know as a player, I went to Gen Con once, and, you know, I forgot my dice bag. I forgot my dice at home. Guess what? I realized that when I got on the plane. So there's nothing much you could do.
Right. But that's
happens.
The first Gen Con that we flew out to Indianapolis, I forgot my dice too.
Mm-hmm. And it happens.
It didn't really matter.
You know,
that year
you can't find dice at Gen Con. Good Lord, you can buy pictures of it.
Yeah. Literally, a picture.
The GM pulls out, you know, a wad of dice and is like, $10.
Yeah. I'm surprised GMs don't do that.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. But. And be prepared for that. Some GMs will try to sell you stuff.
If it's a game that it's their own game.
Oh, and I say this, especially when it's a convention that actually lists the person who's running it. Remember those names.
Oh my God!
Just so you sign up next year and go, wait a minute.
Yeah,
that's the guy that ran that game that sucked.
Yeah, personalities aren't going to match up, there's no point.
3 years in a row, I ended up with the same GM, and I hated him. So much so that I was like, dude, I'm going to go play. Oh.
It's him.
Never mind. I'm going to go back to the hotel room now.
Yeah, I remember
that
guy.
Room.
That was the guy that we played.
That was
Mutants
the guy
Mind.
That ran the Mutants and Masterminds game that we played.
That was
a six-hour session that lasted 20 minutes.
That makes
it didn't last 20
sad.
Minutes. It lasted an hour and a half. But the actual gameplay part of it lasted 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because we sat around and set up what we were planning to do, and
we
that took about
fun.
An hour
we
and 10
We had fun
minutes.
Amongst ourselves, but the game itself sucked.
Yeah. The game
I'm sorry.
But it's just a superhero
Atomic
game.
Atomic Brain would have killed all of us in about three rounds.
Yeah.
But no, he played Atomic Brain like an idiot. We're all power level 10 dudes fighting power level 20. We're all dead.
Yeah. End the subject.
Anyway, I did get to play Johnny Rocket and was so gay. It was
that
fun.
Was funny.
That was funny. I was trying to, you know, have some fun at that. Ugh. Anyway. It's good to remember the names of the people that run stuff. Even you can use the opportunity to meet cool new people, you know. I've met a lot of people through various games at Gen Con and recognized them years later, you know. It's like, oh, yeah, I played in such and such. I played in an Asylum game with you, you know, 4 years ago, et cetera. So.
Yeah, how's life been treating you?
Exactly. And really, especially when you're going to a convention, use that opportunity to play something that, one, you never get the chance to play, or two, you've never played, you know?
Yeah, every year that I've gone to Gen Con, I've desperately tried to get into a Call of Cthulhu game. I've always run Call of Cthulhu. I've never been
in a Call of
Cthulhu game.
Some of us have actually bought you tickets.
I know. And then I ended up in the hospital. So I slept.
You didn't have to get that excited about it.
Yeah. Apparently I was having a panic attack because of the final I had to get ready for when I got back. But yeah, it was
keep telling yourself that. We know you're just excited about Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah, I guess. That must have been it.
Like, I'm looking forward to this year because I get to play in a Marvel Superheroes game, which I have not played...
Since you were young, right?
I have not played in for probably close to 15 years. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Being that Marvel Superheroes is Tay Awesome. But, you know, use the opportunity to play something that's cool, something that you know, and don't be upset. Okay. People who go to Gen Con and go to other conventions, don't be upset and pissed off when you can't get into a game. For the love of all that is holy, it's not the end of the world. There is enough to do at a gaming convention that if you can't get into this game of at this time... It's not like there's nothing else to do. And I really think people need to understand that. Because, you know what? Yes, I tried to sign up for a few things at Gen Con this year. I try it every year when I go, and I didn't get into some stuff. But guess what? I didn't get into that all-flesh must-be-eaten game. Oh, well, maybe next year. Not the end of the world. So, really, when you're going to a convention, when you're playing at one, be open, you know? Be ready to play in be ready to play in anything, because you could be sitting at a table and someone say, hey, do you want to play in this game? We've got an open spot. Be willing to say yes, you know? Be willing to say, well, what is it? And, mm-hmm. you know, if it sounds even remotely interesting, give it a shot. You might have fun. Who knows? You
and
know?
Wear deodorant.
Yes, wear deodorant.
Oh, for, yes, and for the love of God.
And take a, you know, shower or bath or something once
so,
in a while.
So, really... I mean, do you guys have any questions as players in a convention game?
I really just had more fun at CanCon. Gen Con was too big for me.
Some people have a better time with the little cozy gaming cons like that. So,
well, yeah, the thing is there's not 9 billion people you don't know. So people like me who actually have problems when there's tons of people you don't know actually do better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't like people.
As a GM, you need to go into it entirely with the mode of these people have never played a game before in their life, and be ready to explain the game in as few words as possible and make as much sense as possible.
If you want to be really creepy, don't make eye contact.
There is that.
Just
that,
don't look
that
at him.
To you?
No. That's just Jeremy being creepy.
You do it.
Yeah, there we go.
So just look down and go, welcome to this game, blah, blah, blah.
Or find a spot on the wall and just stare at that the whole time.
Oh my God, it's like I'm back at KU.
Whoa. It's Cougar all over again. All right. Well, I think that's all we have to discuss on that at this point, unless you
drink
guys
lots of alcohol before the game. Possibly some drugs.
I think we're going to say no to the drugs. If you want to drink alcohol, that's illegal. But drugs, no. Drugs
especially
are bad.
Especially before the game.
No.
Especially if you're the GM.
No.
Drugs are bad.
No.
Drugs
no, no,
are
no.
bad.
Oh no, we're gonna end this
Come
and we'll be back
totally
right
trashed.
After this, Jeremy. Jeremy,
special
you need to go
brownies.
Back on the DARE program. Back on the DARE program.
I like
DARE
the idea of the special
DARE
brownies.
No. We do not condone drug use in any way, shape, or form.
Gamers Haven Incorporated proudly presents A Thousand Monkeys production of a Pinnacle Entertainment game. Deadlands Reloaded. Enough Room to Die. Featuring the Gamers Haven regulars. A campaign 6 years in the making. Secret societies, bloodthirsty demons. The story's got it all. But can the heroes unravel the plot before it's too late? One thing's for certain is they're gonna either have enough room to live or enough room to die. Available for download only at GamersHavenPodcast.com.
We're back, and today on our three-parter, it's not a lovely three-parter, it's just a regular three-parter today. I've got a rave, Nathan's got a rant, and Jeremy is going to attempt at least part one of a review on the copy of Amethyst that we got in. So we will go ahead and kick it off with my rave.
Once my perfect world was gone, I knew you ruined everything in the nicest way.
The Rave.
All right. Jeremy is yelling at his computer because it was crazy. But I've got a rave today, and it's one I just randomly decided to do just now, because we were just talking about it. Nathan showed me a British television show called The IT Crowd. And it's had 3 seasons, 6 episodes each. They're about 20 minutes long. They are available on Netflix. Watch instantly.
Or if you can find them, I highly recommend buying them,
yes.
But they're really hard to find.
They are
apparently.
Hard to find because it's not BBC. It's not a BBC release.
But it's a British show.
It is a British show. But it's a British sitcom, basically, about these two guys and their boss in basically an IT department in a big multinational corporation. And it is absolutely one of the funniest things I have seen in a long, long time. I believe there were several points where I had to stop it because I was laughing so hard I couldn't breathe. It is very gamer-friendly because in the third season, you actually can notice on the shelf in the back of their office, they have several board games, including Ticket to Ride, War on Terror, and another one that I can't... I want to say it's Shadows Over Camelot, I think.
I don't remember. Stuff. All I remember from the third season is, I'm disabled.
I'm disabled. No, if you watch on the top shelf in the back... on that bookshelf, on that big metal shelf.
Yeah, they have some.
Moss,
they have some board games.
There's a War on Terror board game on the top.
Yeah,
shelf.
I saw that one.
And they actually show them playing it at one point.
You know what I thought was hilarious in the first season? If you look in the back, they actually have a Commodore PET sitting on one of the shelves.
Yeah,
which is an old. We're talking like 1970s old computer.
And it's the show's got really the three main characters in the show. There's Jen, who is their boss, who's their relationship manager, who has
no clue
whatsoever about computers. But she put that she knew how to use computers.
Knew computers on her CV.
On her CV, yes, which is like her resume.
And the boss of the company put her
in charge of IT because of that, because she knows using the internet and clicking the mouse
and double clicking the mouse, the keyboard monitor,
obviously,
the box down on the floor, the hard drive,
the hard drive.
Okay. You seem to know your stuff.
And then the IT guys who are these two guys is Moss and what's the other guy's name?
I can't remember his name. But they're both absolutely hilarious. Jaw-dropping hilarious.
It is, and they're both totally inept guys, so socially inept guys, and especially Moss. Oh my god! Yes.
0111998 6. Yeah.
And it's, you have to see it. It is a funny, funny show. It's just really sort of that farcical British comedy that they do so well. I watch it and it really just had me just rolling. It was so funny. So really short rave today, but I mean check it out. It's called the IT Crowd, yeah. And it is just priceless.
I cannot stress enough that if you have any knowledge of computers, you will get so much out of the show.
Or if you've ever worked in an office, and you know the people who listen to this show probably have some knowledge of computers in some way, shape, or form, or at least have used computers.
Yes,
it's funny to watch because they just have that huge chasm between upper management and IT and how nobody knows exactly how a computer works type of thing, and you know, how fixing it basically involves turning it off, turning it on, or plugging it in, that sort of thing.
Yeah, which is funny because that's like the first thing that we actually do.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
not a joke, yeah.
Yeah, that's not a joke. I mean, that's the quickest fix to fix a lot of problems is you just click, click.
It's about their antics as this IT crowd, this IT department, and how they basically socialize and whatnot. It's really funny. I highly recommend it. It's on Netflix. Watch it now. It's available on Netflix to rent on DVD as well. I'm sure you can find it other places, but do so. It is just priceless.
It is worth the time spent on watching.
It's great. And it's a fast watch because, I mean, there are 6 episodes each series, 3 series out now, and the episodes are 20 minutes each. So, I mean,
yep.
It's fast to watch.
The next season, if all goes well and filming finishes on time, the new season. It started in March. They started filming in March, so the new season should be on the air by I think that's in August, September.
If you look at their previous schedules, it's usually they air it in August, September. Yeah. So.
Which means that's good news for all of us Red Dwarf fans too, because they started filming season 10 of that in March as well. Which means if all goes well, we'll see that.
Yes, so, love us after British comedy, the IT Crowd. It's great,
Red Dwarf.
Check it out.
Yeah. Red Dwarf is just one of those. I remember had the song on like the theme song for it on one of my CDs of it was cult sci-fi classics, and I was listening to the CD. I'm like 15. I'm like, what is this? And, this is like 95. I'm like, this sounds so stupid. And then one of my friends told me, you have to watch this show.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Red Dwarf, and those like
those Brits, they do comedy well. So check out the IT Crowd.
Yes. Hello, everyone. Today I'm going to rant about a game that is probably close to most of your hearts, and that game is God of War 3. Yeah, what can I say about this game, this smurf pile of a game that never should have been released in the shape that it came out in? I mean, let's look at the first problem I had with the game. Okay, the first problem, anybody who's played God of War knows that there's been two iterations before this. In both other iterations, you had a problem, whereas when you went to jump, if you held the jump button for even a microsecond, it would try to do the Wings of Icarus. You couldn't double jump, you fell to your death, and died. And this happened regularly. You could reproduce it on the same jump over and over and over again. Well, for those of you who haven't played God of War 3, let me just tell you, this very aggravating pain in the ass has not been fixed. And as a matter of fact, there is one jump that you will literally make and fail at least 30 times before you actually get the controls to work right. We're on the third iteration. This should have been fixed in the first game. This should not be sitting in a new generation console, third release in a series. Fix it. I mean, come on. We spend $60 on these stupid games, and you guys can't even get the damn controls to work right? What are you smoking there? Honestly, because you need to share. Because then maybe I could actually be comfortable with the game. And let's talk about the whole, you spend the whole game going through fights where you get wounded. Then you get close to the end, and there's this massive section called the Labyrinth. And in every room, every 5 seconds, there's something that's an instant hit, instant kill thing. And half the stuff can't be avoided, and it's all timed. What the f... Who designed this? Because if you're going to have crap like that in the game, you need to spread it out over the game so we get used to the idea that there's going to be crap that if we get hit by it, we die instantly instead of going, we're going to lump it all into one big, huge area that's going to take you 8 hours to go through. And by the time you're done, you're going to be ready to strangle every programmer for this entire game. And the last boss fight. Okay, please. Some of the boss battles that I fought before that, Hades was harder than Zeus. Hades. He's the first boss. What the hell? The last boss should be a knockdown, drag-out fight. He was a puss! How the hell is he the king of the gods? You fight him 3 different times, and each fight he goes down like a sack of wet potatoes. He's useless. I don't care if it's, you've upgraded all your weapons. Big frickin' deal. They should expect that. You've got, 12 levels to go through to upgrade all your crap. Everything's gonna be upgraded by the time you get to the last boss. If you don't, you're retarded. And, let's talk about the greatest thing. I got to the end of the game. Beat Zeus. Right? Beat him. Got to go to the video clip. My entire PS3 crashed. No big deal. I'll just turn it off, turn it back on. Turn it back on, log back into God of War. Guess what? All my saves were gone.
Oh, jeez.
My controller hit the floor, hit the ceiling, hit the floor, and damn near hit the ceiling again. And from what I understand, this is a very common problem. This should never have made it out the door in its current shape. I should have known when I went to Blockbuster and I was like, I'm going to rent a game. Oh, look, God of War. Cool, they have it. They had it, on their top 10 rentals on the shelf. And I was like, they got a copy of God of War 3. I got to try it because, I finished the other two. The other two had good stories. This will be good. So I grab it. I went around the other side. There was the G section. There was 40 copies of God of War 3, and they were all in. That should have been my first warning. But no. I was like, I played the other two. This one's, continues the story. It'll finish the story. Oh, be ready for this. It doesn't end the story. Guess what? They left it wide open. We have to suffer through another one. Thank you, Sony, for trying to milk the cash cow as much as you possibly can. All I can say is that I'm glad I didn't buy the game, because if I bought the game, I would have used the disc. I would have sharpened the edges and used it as a frisbee against Jack Trent. This game should never have been released. Not in the shape that it's in. I don't give a smurf if the graphics are gorgeous and the sound sounds nice. The story sucks because it's a rehash of what happened in the first two. Oh, you fall into Hades, you gotta fight your way all the way back up. You lose all your stuff because, all the stuff that happens in Hades. And then you fight your way back up and get all your strength back and try to kill a god. Big deal. We saw that in the second one. We saw that in the first one.
You fought your way through Hades in the end of the first one. And the second one, you die in the first level. You end up in hell. And then you fight your way out of hell so you can kill Zeus. Okay. God of War 1. Ares! God of War 2 plot synopsis. Zeus! God of War 3. Titans! Zeus! It's the same frickin' game. Don't waste your money. Graphics are not worth it. It's a waste of time. I want my 4 days back.
The review.
All right, well, this is going to be a review of Amethyst Foundation's Light.
Part one.
Part one, meaning I want to go back through it again. But we're just going to start with
first
what... Yeah, what is Amethyst? Well, first of all, it's 4E rules. It was put out by Goodman Games, and it is a mix of sci-fi and fantasy. Basically, it's what happens if a fantasy world basically erupts in a modern world. I've noticed that they did introduce new races, basically the Fae, but they also have the humans. They talk about, you know, crossbreeds. They talk about the different cultures, equipment, and so on. The world is basically split between science and magic, is kind of how I look at it. The more magic you get, some creatures basically can't use technology and the other way around.
So it's like Arcana.
Somewhat. Which, there's some ideas in here that I've seen before. But I do like how it's in a 4E setting. The Foundation book itself does a very good job of setting up the world, explaining things like magic, faith, the dragons, and so on. The book itself is mostly black and white. This is a PDF copy that we're looking at. I'm looking for something in specifically in here. They talk a lot about the Fae, basically the Fae realms, because really at this point in the Amethyst universe, the Fae and humanity are basically interacting. The Fae seem to include elves and different types of elves, and dragons play a very big part. It looks like the first dragon was actually an entity called Amethyst, kind of a creator, maybe like an Io type entity. They do a good job of kind of explaining or combining Earth's history with this fantasy history and how that it fits together. I like the idea. And just the brief, you know, the once over that I've done so far, there are many ideas in it that I would use, especially the 4E equipment, possibly the classes. It's also, if you would want to play, you know what it reminds me of? And this Shadowrun with more wilderness.
Mm-hmm. Or more complex rules on how you actually interact with the magic and technology.
Right, and also...
And the character creation system you
character
can actually
creation
use.
System well, is easy.
Actually, yeah, that actually works.
Now, that being said, this is just the first view. Mm-hmm. And I'm liking what I see. They have some monsters in here. One of the races is actually kind of a vampire race called the Tillin.
That sounds kind of cool.
They're like elven fey creatures where the stories of vampires, I guess, came from. They talk about evolved races, like humanity. They talk about the different groups of humanity. Talk about religion. Christianity, Buddhism, Islam, Hinduism, you know, all these different religions still exist and play a part in the world. Some of them overlap with the fey religions. It looks like humans really huddle mostly in cities unless they decide to go join the, you know, magic ranks. Let's see. They do give you rules on mixed bloods, basically fey-human mixes. That's not too bad of an idea, you know. Overall, it just looks like a good book, and I am going to be very interested in kind of digging a little bit more in depth in it and seeing where it goes. It's one of those that you could actually take what you know about Earth, put it in the future, and add a lot of fantasy elements. Basically, I mean, the world has been changed completely, so... Just like I said, a brief review, and hopefully we can discuss it more next time.
All right, cool. Well, next time we'll really hit the book on that, I think. So we'll be back after this.
Warhammer Fantasy 2nd Edition, Paths of the Damned. Chaos cultists and beastmen abound in the smoking ruins of the Empire's northernmost city and its immediate environs, and the heroes are plunged into an action-packed adventure involving heresy, murder, betrayal, and corruption. Actual play only available at GamersHavenPodcast.com.
Well, we are back, and on Random Encounters today, we've got a few random encounters.
Yeah. Woohoo.
Really? We have random encounters?
We do. It is amazing. We have a voicemail to play. We haven't gotten a new Munchies for Munchkins section from Noah yet, although by the time I get this out, we might have one, and I'll tack that on to the end if he does. Word out to Noah, though, I do best wishes for him. He kind of burned himself on one of their giant walk-in ovens at the bakery he was working at. He is working at, so.
Ouch, is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine. He got a few days off of work for it. I don't know the extent of it, but, hope you're feeling better there, Noah. By the time this reaches you, you'll probably be all healed up and whatnot, so. Let's see. We're going to go ahead and dive in to the first voicemail we've got. Or actually, it's the voicemail we've got. So
you could just play it twice and say it's two of them.
I could do that. But we're going to listen to that.
Hey, Ethan, Nathan, and Jeremy. This is Tracy, also known as Rolling20s on the Gamers Haven podcast forums. And since we are at the leaving of this message about 60 days away from CanCon, I just wanted to call and thank you guys for setting all of this up. I am extremely excited to be coming to the con this year. After hearing the sessions, the actual play sessions from last year, I immediately thought, when can I go to something like this? And now that I have the opportunity to, I couldn't be happier. So thank you very much for all the work that you do. I know you guys all put in a lot of hard work. And can't wait to see you guys in about 60 days. Thanks again. Bye.
Well, thank you. Echo.
Ooh, it's an echo.
Thank you, Tracy, for that.
Yes, much obliged.
Much obliged. It is a lot of work to set it up, but you know what? I'm hoping everyone has fun. That's all I really want. So.
Yeah.
Oh, and just a little bit of a warning. Everybody needs to wear a name tag at CanCon.
Well, there'll be badges.
Because I do not remember names. So if I walk up to you and you're like, I'm such and such from such and such, I probably look at you blankly and you'll have to explain.
There will be badges as for any convention. So people will have badges that will have their names on it. So
it's nothing personal. I'm just horrible with names.
Well, there you go.
If you forget my name,
I for one, I'm looking forward to meeting some of the fans coming down. So,
yeah, that's actually really exciting
you,
Tracy, to me.
I mean, you're hiking it quite a ways to get down there.
Yeah, so, that is.
I certainly hope you have a good time, and I anticipate. I'm hoping for a good turnout, and I think everyone's going to have a lot of fun. So, well, I know everyone's going to have a lot of fun, really. So. That's the only voicemail we got right now.
Do we have emails?
We do have some emails.
The Eighth Pagan.
We might have one from the Eighth Pagan. I don't remember. I
haven't heard from him in a while.
I got an email, speaking of CantCon, got an email from Rob Velty, who is apparently over at Potsdam University, wherever that is. They're organizing a convention out there called BearCon, and he just wanted to ask me a few questions about basically organizing a con and whatnot, and one of the specific things is obviously vendors. Now, I sent him on the information, and I decided to go ahead and allow vendors to come into CantCon. I really didn't think they'd be interested in it, but yeah. I've got two vendors already scheduled, so... we shall see who else, if anyone, whatnot. I'm not sure where you guys are located, but Potsdam, it's called SUNY, so Southern University of New York, maybe? I don't know. But I sent a response back to Rob, and so for anyone who is interested in that, you know, there is BearCon at Potsdam University, apparently. So
you think they're going to have a bear?
I hope so.
A we dancing like bear?
A dancing bear?
Dancing bear.
Creepy
dancing
bear!
Dancing bear.
I think that's dancing queen, but...
Oh, right.
Maybe a queen bear?
Got an email from Joe McJoe.
Hey, Joe McJoe!
Said, now he says, Steve Kenson is doing a superhero game call using Fate. I guess it's a combination of the Spirit of the Century and Neats and Masterminds. Also, Green Ronin has the license to DC Comics. Dig the show and keep on rocking. By the way, I'm located in Southern California. So you are a Californian. Excellent.
You must be loving
Schwarzenegger. Yeah, we know about the Green Ronin and the DC Comics license. Obviously, you mentioned it at the beginning of the show, so that's some big news. Obviously, also probably since you emailed this to me is the Mutants and Masterminds third edition rules as well, third edition coming out. And I obviously got a chance to talk to Steve Kenson, and we did talk a little bit about his this game he's putting out through using Fate, and it's called Icons, and it's being put out by Adamant Entertainment, who will not be getting any of my money. So. And these two know why. Now, granted, I'm not a big fan of the Fate system. I think the character creation system in Spirit of the Century is very cool, but I'm fine with Mutants and Masterminds, quite frankly. So all more power to Steve for it, but I'm not interested in Fate at all, really. So but hey, if it's your thing, go for it. You know, let us know if it's any good. I'd imagine since Steve Kenson's doing it, it's going to be fantastic. So...
just not our cup of tea.
Not my cup of tea.
Nor is it Sherlock Holmes.
We got an email. Let's see. Go up the list. Email from David Schwarm. He's a Schwarm. He has a Schwarm template. Says, hola. I have just started to listen to episode 2 of your Keep on the Shadowfell Adventure and wanted to send a thank you for making your sessions available. Very cool. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Which one is he listening to? Is he listening to ours?
Probably
or?
The original.
Okay, thank God.
And not the one that you ruined. I mean, the one you're in.
I didn't ruin it, but I certainly did add a lot of flavor. But it's probably not a good idea to cut his teeth on that one because he'll think we're all horrible people.
That is true.
Well, we are, but...
Well, no, not as horrible as I make us out to be in that show.
I've mentioned him in previous shows, but we are actually now sort of partnered a little bit with Troll in the Corner, trollytc.com, their stuff. They've actually sent us some stuff to some PDFs of something they're working on that we're going to do a review on. Can't really talk about it right now, but it's going to be there. So I wanted to give a shout out to Troll in the Corner, who does a lot of really cool stuff. It's trollitc.com. They are going to be working on some D&D supplements, and basically they have a world called Arunius. Which is up and all available on DriveThruRPG and RPG Now and those sites. Working on an orc supplement, they have a zombie supplement up for it, and right now they have a Pathfinder or D20 supplement containing 5 new magical items that they have.
What's their orc supplement called?
He does not say quite yet.
And they're working on it? It's not out yet.
Is not out yet. Yes, okay. In the next few weeks, he'll also have that up. Now, this stuff is actually pretty cheap. It's like $1 each or $2 each. So
yeah,
I mean,
that's really the best way to go on some of that stuff.
What he's also going to do is he's going to send me a promo link for the duration of CantCon to get 50% off any titles, basically to our convention goers, and I'm going to talk to him and see if he'll extend that at least for the duration of CantCon to our listeners as well. So, Troll in the Corner, Ben over there, really supporting the Gamers Haven. So I thought I would at least share that and support him as well. So he's a good guy and does some good stuff. Got an email from Brian O'Blevins. Now he says, "I'm trying to figure out the title of a book that I believe you guys mentioned in an old show, though I can't for the life of me figure out which episode it was. It had something to do with some gamers getting sucked into their game or into a random fantasy world. I've tried Google searches, etc., with no luck. Any chance you guys remember the title and author? P.S. Keep up the awesome work."
Gunpowder involved because
several of them get horribly murdered.
The thief gets, the one-armed thief
gets killed in the first book.
Because he steals from the prince and the prince is like, stab.
Yeah.
Do you remember what they're called?
Was it Terry Goodkind stuff? Or?
I don't know.
I don't. Yeah. I'm sorry, dude. Hopefully our listeners can remember.
Was not the Sword of Truth series.
No, it wasn't Sword of Truth.
Because listeners can hopefully get.
There's
get
a dwarven berserker. One of the humans becomes a dwarven berserker in the fantasy world. One of the characters decides later on to be his normal human self and is an engineer and creates gunpowder. There is a cleric who I think is either killed or something horrible happens, and they take her to the only temple.
So it's not ringing any bells to me. I know we talked about it. It's nothing I've read, so... all of our listeners out there, if you remember the name of this book, please drop us an email, ethan@gamershavenpodcast.com, and we will try to figure out if we remember this. So,
and I remember books. I just don't remember.
The books too. I remember reading them. Was it Joel Rosenberg?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Well, but what's the name?
I don't know. That's what I'm looking up. I think it might be Joel Rosenberg, but let's look at what he's look what he's done.
They're older books.
Yeah, they are. And there was like 4 or 5 of them.
Because it turned out their GM was actually a wizard who was trying to do something. And he was the bad guy.
All right.
Those damn GMs.
Well, in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next bit of information. And obviously, this is just some news, and I learned about this.
Guardians of the Flame?
Guardians of the Flame.
There you go.
That's what it is.
Now that our listeners have been yelling at their IP3 their MP3 players,
The first book is called The Sleeping Dragon, Guardians of the Flame.
Fun books.
So there you go, Brian.
Depressing books, though, in some ways.
Fun.
Yeah.
In that depressing sort of way.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Flame.
Yeah.
By who?
Joel Rosenberg.
R-O-S-E-N-B-E-R-G or U-R-G?
I think it's, let me see. Joel Rosenberg. B-E-R-G. Like
E-R-G.
Aaron.
Okay.
I think. The Sleeping...
There we go. Dragon. I just sent an email to both of you, apparently, rather than to him. don't you love it? Don't you love it? So you guys will get an email about that. Guardians of the Flame. By Joel
Rosenberg.
There you go.
Caveats first. This would rightfully be a 3.5 stars by my estimation, but that's not an option here. Oh, well. Also, I'm a gamer, too, so this book had some extra appeal to me, putting it in the 4-star solid.
Right.
Well, there you go. And the last bit I have, now that we've cleared that up, is just some news that sort of dropped in here just at the last minute before I was we started recording. You already know about the DC game, and you already know about the Mutants Masterminds 3rd edition. That's the big one. But Jeremy will be interested to hear. There is a program out there called Master Plan.
Yes, Master Plan. I know all about Master Plan.
They have just received a cease and desist order from Wizards of the Coast.
I knew that was probably going to come.
Yes. Master Plan has received a cease and desist letter from a lawyer acting on behalf of WotC, in which they demanded that they shut down Master Plan entirely. As some people have speculated, the lawyer's main complaint is about Master Plan's integration with the WotC compendium. So,
apparently, to say something.
From what I understand, they are continuing development on this, but they're probably going to go ahead and disable the compendium stuff. So,
can I say something?
Version 9. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, if WotC didn't have their heads so far up their smurfs and would actually finish their smurfing
compendiums?
Their tools.
There wouldn't be a need for all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But since their tools are really crappy because they're not complete, guess what? These have to exist. Now, the compendium part, okay, fine. It's an organizing tool. If you don't have access to the actual, you know, WotC program, fine, you can't use that part. But WotC,
yeah,
that is just wrong in so many ways. Not to mention, basically, it's...
I'm studying to be a lawyer. I understand why they're doing it, but...
But
guys,
they're douches.
This is a dick move.
It's a douche...
It's a
baggery
really bad
move.
Douche
baggery. Because, guess what? Guys, guess what? Master Plan? Totally better than your programs. Totally better.
I wouldn't go so far as to say
totally.
It's better. It's more functional.
at this point,
it would be nice if it functioned better, honestly. But
yeah, but
was at least functional.
with the amount of money that WotC has versus the amount of money that the Master Plan people have.
Yeah, and it's really it comes into a legal realm called laches, and I've talked about it before on the show, but it's if they don't actively defend their copyright, they can be challenged for it in court. So I understand why they're doing it, but I think what they should have done is contacted the Master Plan guys and worked out a license with them. I think this is a big dick move on WotC's part. So bad form. This is of course on the heels of WotC laying off a bunch of people again.
Oh, they laid off a bunch
yes,
of people. That
they
was
laid
nice
off a
of
bunch
them.
Of people again.
I'm glad that
well,
they are just
they're
as
not really
evil
making
as everybody
as much of a profit
else
as they expected to.
Oh, it's normal. Normal business method for WotC.
Still,
the glut is over. We need to lay off a bunch of people.
Well, the
so
thing was, is like
done.
they're like, hey, we made a profit for the quarter. Guess what? You're all fired.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's the same dick move that every publishing company
but
for video
they
games
did not
does
use
too.
Hired goons.
No,
that
that's
is
true.
That is true.
So
now,
I mean,
it's corporate.
Send cops to your house, so they're not that evil yet.
Question.
Yeah, but it's still a dick move, and
yes.
All corporations.
So. What does that really mean to everybody else, other than you can't use the compendium?
So, yeah.
I mean, beyond that...
I got nothing. I'm wondering if... At this point, I'm wondering if Lone Wolf Development has received one for theirs, for that bit, just because
you know,
of the program that downloads
them. Really, WotC, what they should do...
Is license it?
No. I've got a better idea. Hire ninjas. Hire ninjas, and everybody who does anything... Anything that's not WotC, send the ninjas out to just kill them. That way, Watsy has control of everything. They can be the big evil organization that kills people with ninjas.
Along that line...
Man, if they smurf and ruin My Hero Lab, I will never forgive them. I will never buy another Watsy product as long as I live.
I probably will. But...
I'll just... If I need to use something from Wizards of the Coast, I'll just look at it from you guys.
That's fair.
Well, there you go.
But I will never buy another thing if they ruin Hero Lab.
Along the line of ninjas, entirely side tangent, don't bother seeing Ninja Assassin. It's not very good.
Aww.
Only if you like seeing contents under pressure.
There's much better movies out there you can watch. And
oh, my God, yes.
I mean, watch, like, American Ninja. It's much better. I was not too blown away by Ninja Assassin.
I think the way I put it was, man, even our crappy ninjas would be better than these ninjas.
Yeah. It really does dictate the whole ninjas, like, single ninjas are much more effective than thousands of ninjas. Because the closer ninjas are in proximity to each other, the crappier they get, apparently. So,
yeah.
There you go.
I agree.
Really, this episode is coming in at a reasonable length, other than, unlike our previous episodes. If voting has started for if really anyone has any influence or whatnot on the Any Awards, please go poke people and tell them to vote for us to be at least nominated and whatnot, because we did send stuff in. So. Either way, thanks everyone for listening, and we will catch you next time.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll-free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll-free, 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.